Yeah, we're going to expand the...
Parks, Rec, and Forestry Committee meeting, March 24th, 2015.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Would you roll call? If you're here, say aye. Kidding. Ellen?
Aye.
Bob?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Steve? Lee?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Sharon? Aye. Present. Okay. Any additions, changes, any modifications to the agenda? Everybody has the agenda. No. Not if somebody wants to make a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda as is.
Second.
All approved. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of the minutes from January 27th. Any changes? Anybody notice any errors? I think we talked about all this. Hold it long. Mm-hmm. If not, you want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, we'll start out with the reports. Webster to Fox River Trail Connection.
Just wanted to give the committee an update on our that project, the Webster-Fox River Trail Connection, or Alloway Trail Connection, as it's called. We received six bids for that project, and the low bidder that came in for that was Ed Gersek Incorporated out of Green Bay, with a low bid of $196,729.72. And I don't know if you recall from last fall when they had bid the project and it was really high. Mm-hmm. But this time around, the low bidder was about $58,620 less. So, and it mostly because of time of year. Because it was a last year it was in the fall and they were trying to squeeze the project in. Excuse me. Trying to squeeze the project in before the end of the year, so they were real crunched on time and the contractors, you know, were already filled up with work, so there wasn't a whole lot bidding going on at that time. This year, like I said, we got to it early. It was in the spring. And six different contractors bid on the project, so we were real happy with that. Right now we're in the process of back and forth with the DOT and almost to the point of getting contracts signed. That should happen here within the next week or so. And once that happens, then it'll be up to the contractor to begin work when they see fit, and they will have... I believe it was 60 days once they start to completion. So, with the end date being the end of September. So, at any point in there, you know, they can start. But then they, once they start, they're required to keep going on the project. They can't start and stop. So, we're really looking forward to that and anticipating. Some work finally getting done on that project. So, any questions?
The Riverside Drive connection, that going to be a roundabout someday? Are we just going to build it and then let them rebuild it, whatever happens?
Yeah, at this point, we don't know. The Department of Transportation has all of these plans. They're fully aware. And we've talked about it and discussed it, and we... not saying it'll never happen, but it's highly unlikely that, this is DOT funding and federal funding to do the trail, that they would take that and, redesign monies that were already spent and do something different. But at this point, we don't know. There hasn't been a decision made yet.
So. That's by the on-ramp, right, 172?
The off-ramp.
The off-ramp, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Correct. And, so we're pretty excited about it. I believe Mr. O'Rourke had, you know, a few things he wanted to say as well. Okay. That related to
you can just pass
the trail here.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue in Alloway. I've been working on the State Highway 57 sidewalk and Fox River Trail connections, working with the different homeowners and that type of thing. There's a lot of concerns about sidewalks and for that section of highway from Sunset Park all the way down to Alloway Avenue. And what I've proposed is having a sidewalk on the west side from Stambaugh Road down to the new trail connection, which is why I'm talking today here. The state DOT doesn't want to put a sidewalk there, but I think that they're obligated to if it's feasible. And so that's what that purple line is. And what I'd like to see done is have a continuous sidewalk on the west side of Highway 57 that goes from Stambaugh all the way down to the new trail, and then cut down to the Fox River Trail and use the Fox River Trail for pedestrians, and then cut down along the roadway. That's a much safer and more beautiful area, and it does go through parks, and it's a wonderful setting. And the objection that the DOT has to it is that it's not shoveled, it's not plowed during the winter, and the county executive, Troy, has said that he would do it, the county would do it, if it's a legitimate expense and that the municipalities would want it done. He said that that would be a very reasonable request, and they've gotten bids of $40,000 to $70,000, depending on how good they want to plow it and how long. So the entire thing all the way down to the roundabout, to the edge of the town into Pier. So they would do it if there was a request for it. And I'm also on the Fox River Trail Committee and the Fox Wisconsin Heritage Parkway, and we really like this section of Alloway. Alloway is 3 miles long, and half of it is riverfront parks. And this area now with the retention ponds is looking really nice. So we would like to have people from the Taft neighborhood, which is that area down at the bottom, have access to get down to the trail. And having a sidewalk of some kind would allow that. Over the next 3 years, they're not going to put in a sidewalk. And my proposal to Brad is to ask them to do something, either a crushed gravel or something as simple as shredded wood chips, to at least get it started so people can see what it would look like. But getting something there in place so people in that Taft neighborhood have access to the waterfront and to the parks. And then finally, if you turn it on over, Lazar at the very end has a kayak launch that was put in by the Optimist Kayakers Point, and we'd like to see that developed into a ADA accessible kayak landing site. One of the groups that I work with does raise matching funds for municipalities. We have a site going in over in Bellevue at Green Isle Park that will be ADA accessible. And they're about $25,000 apiece to put them in. So we have a couple of maps going in there, and we have them down in the valley. So that's going very well. People like them a lot. And they're getting a lot of use out of the park by people who normally wouldn't be going in and using the parks. So that's why I'm here. I just wanted to let you know that that's what we're looking at. We don't need any action from the board here. If you wanted to support it, that would be great. But I just wanted, because it's adjacent to the parks and cutting through the state park type of thing, I thought that you'd be interested.
Jim, were you going from Taft Street down to the Fox River Trail alongside the Skog building there, between the Skog building and like the retention pond?
The state DOT has no plans to put in an access point, and so we've asked the DOT to include that in their plans. They weren't planning at all on giving those people access to the trail through that route. And so that's what this does.
Where would you like to... Does it show on here?
No. The DOT likes to have it not right at the curb because you have people turning. So, you know, maybe 15 or 20 feet off of the intersection is normally what they like to see.
No, I'm talking about the trail down to the...
You have public access with the new trail.
Right.
So the given that we automatically have, will go all the way down to 172. The village right now, I was just talking, doesn't want people going through near the retention pond, even though it's going to be a beautiful park and a beautiful setting, because they don't want people using
that
for recreation.
Sure.
I think it's going to be wonderful and they should use it, but that's not my project. So I'm not addressing that aspect, but there are trails in there now, maintenance trails, and to get to the trail from this easy access point, you would need some sort of small bridge, and the county would have to sign off on that. The county maintains it, the trail for the state. It's state owned, but the county is the one who kind of maintains it for them. But that would be something that the county executive and county parks would work with us on doing. So we've done joint projects with the county and volunteers along the trail. So they like people using the trail, and this would be a great access point.
So if I'm understanding this right, you want that Taft neighborhood to be able to
get to
the trail somewhere over in where Taft Street comes out on the riverside.
The easiest way is down by the new driveway that went down by the new retention ponds.
Yes.
But
that's... That's on the north side of that?
Correct.
Okay.
That's north of that.
Okay.
It's north of that a block. But that's part of the Public Works Department. So I just know that we already have the Heritage Hill site trail going on down. So that gives it to us automatically. But it... being able to utilize and improve this site would be something fabulous as a mission to work on over the next 5 years or so. But it's looking good, and all of our retention ponds look really good using the native grasses and that type of thing.
Yeah, it'd be a nice little shortcut, or else you have to go to the boat landing to the south.
Well, you can cut in by getting to Stanbaugh Road, then you have the new trail that cuts down through Sunset Park.
Okay, right. Okay, you don't. That's right.
So, you know, people do the cow path thing, and they cut across fields, and they cut behind. But those are, the landlords say that's okay, but they're not obligated to let you.
I see a lot of people park behind the Scott's building and just in the trail right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people do that, but they're not obligated to allow you to do that.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. O'Rourke? Thank you. Let's see. Next thing I'd...
I was just going to ask one more thing on the Fox River Trail connection. So 60 days on that. I'm going to have to really kind of plan it out with Heritage Hill, because that was one of the big things, was to not interrupt programming.
Correct. So and we have all those important dates already, and gave them to our consultant. We'll get them to the contractor.
That information, and he'll work with Heritage Hill on that.
Right, and one of the other stipulations in the contract is, as far as weekend work, we're going to try to prevent them, to do any work on the weekends if at all possible. They have to get authorization prior to be doing that.
Good. So. Just want to make sure that didn't change or anything.
Sure.
Because that 60 days is a pretty fast deal, so, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, what we wanted to make sure was that they didn't use this as a fill-in project and
come
and
go.
Start and stop and come and go like that. Exactly. Okay. So, all right, great. Next item, Resch Family East River Trail grant. I'm in the process of writing a grant, applying for a grant to complete the Resch Family East River Trail. In the last reconstruction of that last year, a portion had to be pulled because of the high costs. So we're just looking to finish off that project, which includes all the trails within Green Isle Park. So I just wanted to give you guys some information on that and let you know that we're hoping to, you know, once again get some funding help from the state or the federal government and look to possibly, most likely I should say, work on that next year. So get that all completed.
They've been clearing a lot of that, haven't they, around the that wooded area, which would be the soccer fields at the end of LeBrun. That's where I usually walk.
But okay.
You've been doing a lot of clearing back there, it seems like. They cleared out a lot of...
Yeah, they did a lot of clearing during the reconstruction and that. And
that
then,
looks nice.
And then
yeah.
farther down, I we had staff that was just cleaning up some, you know, brush stuff that was... You know, I've blown down and things like that. So
I like to catch the knuckleheads that drive their car on that soccer field. It's,
well,
it happens every year.
Yeah. Fortunately, it was, well, twofold. Fortunately, it was in the wintertime. The ground was frozen, so they didn't do any damage.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they did catch somebody this
year. They did.
So it was nice.
Let's have some cameras over there.
But, yeah, we were able to... catch somebody that was out there doing it, and nine times out of ten it's because it's kids and they're bored.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, hopefully it, word gets out that we're keeping an eye on stuff.
I think it's good you have Deacon Don down there too. Yeah. You know, he's the only guy that sees those condo people, but he really has an eye on people that come down there at night.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So. All right. Any other questions about the trail? Great. And lastly, I just wanted to give you a little update on our other project, Green Isle Softball Diamond Lighting project. The bids are out right now, and we're going to, or it's let, I should say, and we're going to open bids on April 8th for that. I know for sure of two companies that are going to be bidding on it. With hopefully at least a third that I know pulled plans on it. So, but we'll see how those come in. And if those come in within budget, the projection is that that project would be completed by the end of June. And part of that project, and that's for the softball field at Green Isle. And the reason we're doing that is because the current lighting is really, really old. And getting to be inadequate and an issue, but we'll still be able to utilize the current lighting until the point that these lights are ready to go, because they're not going in the exact same spots.
Okay.
So our recreation department will still be able to utilize the facility for league softball during that time.
So that answers my question. You're going to put in new poles then?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And the new poles will be steel, concrete steel, which is kind of the standard of the day now. Getting away from wood, you have less issues and you get a lot longer lifespan out of them.
Are they going to be higher?
They will be higher, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Will there be more of them then?
No, nope, same amount. Same amount. And just because of the new lighting and the efficiency of them and the fact that they'll be higher, they'll be adequate.
So. I thought it was my eyes. Maybe it's the lights.
Any other questions? Okay. That's all I had for reports.
Okay. We'll move on to our draft, first draft of the specifications manual.
Well, at our first meeting, back in January, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I went through several items that I wanted to bring to the committee and work on throughout the year. And this particular item is an important thing, I feel, from the aspects of our urban forestry program. And it's kind of easy pickings to get started with, too. It's a smaller document, and but it's something that I feel is important. I utilized a very similar document from my previous employer, and it really helped and enabled us to better manage our urban forest and our public trees by giving us, specifications, proper treatments, and best management practices for not only ourselves, our staff, but if we have any contractors come in, they know what's expected of them, or any homeowners as well. If they, feel that they want to undertake any work on any public tree, which they'd have to garner permission and get a permit prior to. Then they'd have to also abide by, best management practices. So, not sure if everyone had a chance to page through them at all, we could either go through page by page or, just ask if anybody has any questions. Maybe we'll do that, go page by page, and if anyone has any questions, maybe I can better explain things. Or if there's something in the document that you think maybe doesn't seem right that we want to explore further or change, we can look at that. But my ultimate goal with this document is to bring, and maybe next meeting, bring back a second draft that you guys can vote to approve or deny or request more information. And then eventually, I'd like to present some of these items to our village board and give them more in-depth information and a little better understanding about our program. So, any questions yet? Okay. The first area there is introduction. That just kind of explains a little bit about what this policy is, the authority. We do have Municipal Code Chapter 4 in our Code of Ordinances that pertains to our trees and our policies that govern that within the village. So talks about the function of the manual. Excuse me. And that's again more about the maintenance of the trees within village right-of-ways, public areas, parks, and that, and utilizing best management practices. Talks a little bit about our organization, our department, and our personnel, staff that we have within our department that works in our urban forestry program. The next page one, I guess it would be, goes a little bit into, this is separated out by tree planting, tree pruning operations, tree removal operations, and then, has some additional information towards the back. To start with is tree planting program. Speaks a little bit about what we would wish to see in the community from the perspective of our street trees, and that talks about different levels of the streets as far as like residential streets, collector streets, arterial streets, kind of the looks we like to see typically, and in more of the residential area we try to have a little bit more diverse tree planting of different species, so that if and when we do have tree diseases or issues, i.e. emerald ash borer or Dutch elm disease, it doesn't wipe out entire neighborhoods. It may affect a tree here and there, but not every tree right down the street. So we try to have mix up our tree planting, have more of a diverse tree planting. When you get higher up in the types of streets, up to like an arterial street, sometimes you want to see more of a continuity where you would have maybe the same species, but you don't have it for long distances to kind of, again, break those things up. So you might have maples on both sides of the street, but maybe only for a block. And then you would switch it up. So those are type, some of the things there, again, to prevent the entire street to be decimated if something comes through. So. Mm-hmm. Tree planting programs. We do have several planting programs already in place. I just kind of renamed them a little bit. Our neighborhood tree planting program is something that Brad's been enacted for years. You know, where it allows individual homeowners to come in, purchase a tree for along the street as a street tree. This year, we actually got the word out. It seemed like a little bit more. I put some information in the new Alloway Neighbors pamphlet, magazine, whatever it is that went around. And I must have, the first day that it was out, I must have got a half dozen calls, which was good. So, it's a slow process, but I think that it'll catch on. This year I had, or this spring I should say, probably only maybe about 9 or 10 individuals partake. But I think as the word gets out more and more, and we are pretty well stocked on our streets with trees. We got a pretty mature urban forest, so not everybody has room to put a tree in, but quite a few people that that have seen that information, they saw some interest in it. So, new streets, new subdivisions. Well, we do have it in our ordinances that if and when a new subdivision would ever be put in, work with a developer to plant trees and that. So street reconstructions, that's something I'm going to, work more on. Anytime any reconstruction comes in, that should be part of the project. And I understand during construction projects, not every tree's worth saving or can be saved. But those that we can, we'll try to, and if need be, we'll come in and put new ones in after all the work's done. So. Replacements. Anytime we take a tree out, we put a tree back in, if it's feasible, if it's in a good location, if there's room. And these are community trees, so we want to make sure that we don't lose trees and not try to put them back in. So. And there again, work with the homeowner, try to pick some tree species that they would like to see, but also works within what is already there, either at their location or around the street. Let's see. That's pretty much it with the programs. Installation time periods, spring and fall, that's really no different than what we've done in the past. Recommended tree species, that was one of the two appendix sheets that I included with this. That gives us a wide variety of different size trees at maturity, anything from real large trees like an oak tree to smaller statured trees that work well under power lines, such as a tree lilac or a crabapple type tree. So we have a lot of trees to select from, and I work directly with the growers, so I am able to get good pricing on the trees. I think this spring I averaged about $115 a tree, which if we went to retail and bought that same tree, it'd be about $300. Mm-hmm. So.
Does the village want the homeowners that live on the cul-de-sac to maintain and prune the trees?
the
tree?
We would prefer not. You know, that's part of our responsibility as okay. as a village and as a department.
Because okay. my wife has done it for years, but we're on a cul-de-sac, and sure. the tree's never been sure. professionally pruned.
Right. You know, and our staff is...
They get me up there hacking.
You know, our staff is pretty well-trained, and it's a program that we're trying to get instituted more and more. The last couple of years, we've been trying to do a little bit more catch-up work. There's been quite a few areas around town that had to be had a lot of trees that were hanging, you know, low over the street, and that was our main priority. But ultimately, and I'll talk about that just a little bit later, but ultimately, we want to get on a schedule where we're visiting parts of town, parts of the village, once every 5-6 years.
I think in here you have to put a request in, right? If I think I've
and that is correct, that. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, and with our rotational, what I call section pruning, we will automatically do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to wait and wait for requests. But in the meantime, if somebody calls and requests it, you know, we put them on a list, and we try to get out there within the month and get it taken care of for them.
Could you clarify for me, Chris?
Sure.
When does a tree become the responsibility of the village versus the responsibility of a homeowner?
When it's on public property, it's the responsibility of the village. And that would mean anything within the street right of way, anything in a park area.
Define the street right of way.
Well, a street right of way is typically outside of the boundaries of the actual street. But from street to street, it's different. Not every street is the same. A lot of times, a homeowner can look in their driveway, and you can see in your driveway where the sidewalk might be, if they had a sidewalk on the street. If that's the case, typically the street right-of-way would be on the house side of where that sidewalk would be. But like I said, not every street, because of the way they put some of the streets in here in the village, sometimes the street itself is not centered in the right-of-way. It's slid off to the side when they put it in. One side of the street might have quite a large terrace that goes, you know, off the edge of the street, and the other one might be very small. I've found that in particular right down here on Libel, when you get to those big silver maples, mm-hmm. not one of those silver maples is in the right-of-way. They're all privately owned trees. Uh-huh. The other side of the street where the sidewalk is, you know, the right-of-way goes to the house side of the sidewalk. Mm. So, you know, on this side of the street, the right-of-way is 2 feet off the curb. On the east side, it's probably a good 8 feet, 8 to 10 feet there. So
you can go to the county website if you know how to find your tax bill. On the county website, there's the GIS map.
Mm-hmm.
And then that has these maps and your lot lines, and you can get pretty close by zooming in. So those are available online.
Right. And I have a computer program that I utilize. It's ArcGIS, which is the same thing that the county uses for this, but mine, I'm able to utilize and zoom in even farther than the average person can. But a lot of times I can zoom in and pick out a shrub in somebody's yard and be able to tell, you know, where that's located compared to the right-of-way and things like that. So to answer your question, the right-of-way is different on different streets. I can't give any one individual, you know, a standard answer to that. But, you know, and even if a homeowner plants a tree, it becomes the property of the village and the village's responsibility to maintain if it's on that right-of-way line or within the right-of-way. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Next on there was the undesirable tree species. Again, one of the appendices has a listing of undesirable tree planting list. And this is a list of trees that we found over time just either don't make for real good street trees because of the types of soils, or the locations. For instance, a box elder or a cottonwood aren't necessarily the types of trees we want to see planted along the street. Another one that's on here now, or many that are on here, any ash species. You know, we're not putting ash in anymore because of emerald ash borer. But so there's, you know, quite a list there that just don't typically, either we don't want to see them along for various reasons, or they just don't grow well within, you know, as street trees, because that's probably the hardest place for any tree to grow because of the type of soils and, you know, the salts and everything like that. Any questions there? Mm-hmm. Okay. Tree planting standards. Here, these are standards that are set forth more or less best management practices. This is typical for the industry, utilizing American National Standard Institute, any program or reputable landscapers. They utilize these standards, so this is pretty standard stuff. As far as sizes, we try to utilize anything from an inch and a half caliper, which is the size of how we measure a tree, 6 inches above the roots, but more or less it tells you how big around that tree is. And we try to use a little bit larger size tree just because of knowing where they're grown and, you know, try to get them to survive those first few years through vandalism and kids messing around and animals and especially around here, deer. So try to get a little bit larger tree. And you know, with that, you know, the prices that we've been getting on those size trees are really good. So talks about location. Soil types. Down towards the bottom of the page talks about location with regards to where we, how far away from objects we want to plant a tree, how far away from the corner for vision purposes, how far away from someone's driveway, fire hydrants, signs, street lights. You know, we want to try to position those trees knowing that they're going to grow and try to look at what they're going to look like, you know, as a full-grown mature tree. With that said, I also try to work with the homeowners. And, you know, a lot of times I like to try to frame a tree with the house, you know, and see how it best fits with their landscaping or how it might look with the house. So. Spacing talks a little bit about different sized trees. You want to have different space. You can have different spacing, but you don't want to crowd the trees, more or less. Parkway widths talk about how big the green space is. If there's a sidewalk there, you know, you try to avoid planting where there's not a lot of room. It just calls for issues down the road. So, planting holes, this speaks to the size of the hole you want to dig. Typically, it's standard practice to you know, dig a hole 3 times larger than the root ball, if you're talking a bald and burlap tree, just that it gives the tree a better chance to start. And a lot of times what we've seen in the past is trees that were, say, you know, barely, you know, put in a hole barely bigger than what the root ball is, that and if it's a clay, heavy clay soil, that almost acts like a pot, a plant in a pot. And the roots just circle around and around. They don't go out, so. And we try to get a larger size hole, get those trees to get started. So, transplanted trees, that just, you know, that's just a industry standard for the growers, you know, what we look for from the growers. So. The next page 5, that just goes through our operations and procedures, what we look for from our staff, what we expect of them on how to plant a tree so that we're consistent and we get a good product in the end. That page 6, that diagram, that's actually straight from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You know, this pictures say 1,000 words, they say. So this just gives a visual perspective of what you're looking for when you plant a tree. So
it's a lot better when I do it.
Than they do it, than I do it.
Yeah. Well, years ago, I've seen stories or heard stories and seen the trees of where you know people would used to go down to the river and grab a sapling and bring it back and plant the tree, and they would plant them properly without even knowing it because they didn't want to dig a hole any bigger than they had to.
So they dig, so tough.
Yeah, so they dig a small a small depth wise hole. And the tree would be at the proper level, and that. Well, nowadays, with all the equipment and the ease of digging a hole with an auger or whatnot, you know, over the past 30 plus years, you know, we've seen some issues on how trees were. At the time, we didn't know it, but now we're realizing they were wrongly planted and caused issues for the longevity of the tree. So, all right, maintenance of the newly planted tree set just talks about. You know, some of the things we do or don't want to do as we're planting a tree. A lot of times, we want to try to utilize what's there, not have to bring in any amendments if we don't have to. Try to make sure we get wood chips around that tree, gives that tree a chance, holds in moisture, prevents weeds from growing, things like that. Prune only what you need to prune. The tree is under stress when it's planted. It needs, you know, as much of the leaf area as possible. So, try to avoid doing too much pruning at that time. Staking, staking of a tree, only if it's needed, only when it's needed. And trunk protectors, I've learned over the years that it's almost a necessity. Not only from the unwanted damage from a lawnmower or string trimmer, but especially around here, deer in the fall love to rub their antlers on trees. So we found that every little bit of protection will help. So watering—that's one thing that about the only thing that we ask a homeowner to do. Is for the first few years, just make sure that they water the tree. We at planting time, we leave them some information, post-planting care information sheet that explains everything about the tree and the planting, and what we as the urban forestry program, what we perform, what our responsibility is, and explains to them about the tree watering. So. The next section, which is tree pruning program, portion in here refers back to page 8 to that map there. Those are our urban forestry tree management units. We just have broken up the village into workable units that gives us, areas that are more manageable for us to undertake, for maintenance operations, pruning. In particular, what we try to do is to take a work on a 5, 6, 7 year rotation and take a one of those sections at a time and go in there and do our pruning on every public tree, and that way, if you maintain them on a standard cycle, then you have less problems down the road. You don't have storm damage. You don't have issues like that. So, tree pruning plan that explains a little bit more about our section pruning and that training pruning that is just getting the young trees, trees with 15 years and younger, getting them into proper structure so you don't get a lot of poor branch habits. A lot of low branching, things like that. So that's what we look to do for the first 15 years. After that, trees typically require even less work because they've already been structurally set. And really then you're just looking at things like dying branches or anything that might be cracked or broken or things like that. So Typically, after that, those first, 15 years, they do require less work, and that's why you try to do more work on those first, more often you're there visiting in those first 15 years, and then after that, you can spread that time out a little bit more. So, spot and request pruning, that was one thing you were asking about. Anytime individual, has a request, I'll go take a look at it for them. If it's something that needs to be done, we'll take care of it. Standards, here again, these are best management practices for tree pruning. Our standards and, what we found, especially over streets and roadways, 14 feet is a typical standard, but we're even starting to see that some instances that's not even high enough. With some of the new equipment and trucks that are driving down the street. At minimum, we try to maintain, that over a street. That doesn't mean you take a small tree and cut every branch all the way up on that. Over time, you try to make sure, through different types of pruning practices, don't allow branches to grow into the street, but you don't necessarily have to raise those up until latter part of the operations, over several years. So, sidewalks and buildings, 10 feet clearance. Street lights, make sure you have enough clearance so the light can hit the street where it's supposed to, and doesn't block any photo eyes or anything like that. Street signs and traffic lights, for safety purposes, obviously. We want to make sure those are safe and open, and vision triangles as well. So. Structure, there again, just talks about, what we look for and, industry standards as far as what you try to have for a tree that grows along the street or in a park, to prevent any issues down the road. Sanitation cut just talks about sanitation, pruning, I should say, talks about just getting rid of any dead or diseased or dying stuff within a tree. Pruning cuts, that explains, the proper procedures for our staff to undertake to, when you make a cut on a tree, you want to make sure that it's done properly and there's a reason for it. And what that does, it allows the tree to better close up any wounds or heal itself, and prevent any cavities from forming or any issues down the road, cracks, things like that. So, wound treatment, that just talks about the old pruning paints, which have been found to not really work through research, and with the exception of if you had to, for instance, had to do some work on, say, an oak tree during the summer when oak wilt is an issue. Oak wilt is a lot of times spread by a little insect that'll suck the sap on one oak tree that may be infected and can spread it to another. But if you made a cut where the sap might flow out of it, if you covered that up with a pruning treatment, that would prevent the insect from maybe doing that. So, but that's why we try to prevent doing any work to oaks during the summertime. So, the next thing there just talks about miscellaneous pruning things. Anything from utilizing, if you were climbing a tree, you don't want to use spikes on a tree because it damages a tree, to holiday lighting. We know people like putting holiday lighting in their trees, which they're more than welcome to, and we welcome them to do that. But with the realization that if our staff comes through and needs to do tree work, we try to minimize any impacts we would have. But I how it goes. Sometimes people will, if you get nice weather, they'll have their holiday lighting out of the trees in January. Others wait till June. So, pruning operations procedures that just, once again, different, you know, how our staff would undertake pruning operations. So, figure three there, that's just, once again, an illustration of how you properly cut a branch off a tree. Any questions so far? Everybody getting everything? Understanding that?
Yeah.
Okay. Tree removal program. This goes a little bit into reasons to take a tree down, and what we would do, you know, how we go about those operations, and you know, and as well as you know, what we do with any of the wood products or that come from the removal. But acceptable cause for removal, you know, typically someone, you know, they need to contact me first, and I you know, find out what the reasons are for wanting the tree to be removed. Or, you know, if the tree has poor structure, is a hazard, you know, those are definitely reasons for, you know, looking to take a tree out. Once again, like I mentioned before, if we need to take a tree out, we want to put one back in. So, unauthorized tree removal, that just talks about if we find out that somebody takes a tree out, you know, without approval, you know, that they may be grounds for, you know, some being fined or any other actions that, you know, to pay for that community tree. So, all right. Once again, operations procedures for our staff. So, miscellaneous maintenance programs talks about our some permits. You know, if a homeowner wants to, you know, do that work on their own rather than going through our program, you know, we'll allow it, but we want to know, you know, what they're doing, and, you know, when they're doing it, and that they're doing it right. So those are supposed to be a couple of the appendixes as well, but I have not yet gotten those updated. So plan to have that done by next time. So next thing talks about root pruning, cutting, or removal. Where feasible, you try not to do it, because obviously taking a root off a tree, you know, harms that tree. So, but there are instances where it may be necessary. So, stump removal. This just talks about what our policy is within the forestry division with regards to how we manage our stumps. You know, per policy, you know, we take the stump out, clean it up, landscape it for the homeowner, and, you know, grab soil and seed. So,
if a homeowner for some reason wants to take on the responsibility and the cost of planting a tree in the right of way, mm-hmm. they get the permit and you allow them to do it and everything mm-hmm. is fine, does the village then still be maintain responsibility for the maintenance of it?
Yes.
Or does the homeowner take that on?
No, village does. The tree becomes the property, because it's in the right of way, becomes the property of the village. So, insects and disease issues. This just spells out a couple of different diseases, insects that are pretty prevalent. It's not all encompassing, but this discusses a few of them. Dutch elm disease. Still Dutch elm disease around. We see it every year. Matter of fact, I looked at a tree today, an elm tree that someone's backyard that was dying from Dutch elm disease. So, you know, seems like the elms, they get to a certain size and then they get hammered. Yeah. So,
we get a lot of that.
Yeah, you get a lot of kind of growing in natural areas, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they'll get it.
Chris, that first line on the Dutch elm,
sure.
I guess missing a word or something in there.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks for catching that. I'll have to figure out what that is. A Looks like there's supposed to be an insect or something in there, or a disease or something. I'll take a look at that. So, thank you. Oak wilt disease, you know, it's something that we would want to try to prevent any pruning or wounding of oak trees during, at minimum, April through the end of July.
Did that change recently?
Well, the April through the end of July is the standard set by the DNR.
Okay.
Anything above and beyond that can be individual communities' standards.
So I was went by the March 15th, so I just hustled to get a couple.
Sure. So. No. And I know Green Bay, I think theirs runs till November.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes better to be safe than sorry, but on the other side, you know, you're talking about trees in people's yards that, okay, you're only telling them they get 2 months that they can do work on it or something. You got to be realistic, too. These dates, at my previous job, you know, and we had oak wilt in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And with these dates, we never had an issue of it spreading. So, I'm not saying that, you know, this is, you know, maybe we do want to expand it, but, you know, I've been very comfortable with this, and if the Wisconsin DNR is comfortable with it, I see no problems with that, so.
Is the wording in here that it's highly recommended what the purpose of this manual is, or does this manual set the rule?
This manual can set the rule if we decide we would highly recommend that. You know, it can.
Or is that rule set by a different...
I had a separate policy actually written, or it was written many, many years ago before we even had a specifications manual in Howard. That was way before my time even that they undertook that. So, but... you know, if it's included within this manual, then I think, you know, that we would be good with it. So, and I've never had an issue with that. You know, you explain to people the reasons why, and they're totally understandable. You know, they don't want to lose their trees. Mm-hmm. So, next one, emerald ash borer. I think we've all been highly informed on that issue, and you know quite a bit about that. We do, our department does have some funding set aside to start to undertake some possible treatments or help homeowners with that. So, and from my understanding, talking with Brad and some homeowners, that they've been, you know, doing some treatments of ash trees already in the last few years. So. Which is good. Let's see. Man, almost done here. Tree protection during construction. These are just standards, industry standards on how to, you know, prevent any damage to trees, you know, during construction by contractors or, you know, contracting or construction processes. So. Moving of buildings, I have never had to utilize, I can't say that once I had to utilize that, that somebody had moved a building, you know, down the street, a house, you know, and we went ahead of time and did some tree pruning, you know, rather than them breaking the branches. I don't know if anybody's ever seen move a house down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to go along, push all the wires up and do that, so, but... All right. Let's see. Tree support systems. That just talks about cabling, embracing, you know, utilizing best management practices and standards. If we, you know, if and when we undertake any of that for any of our trees. And nuisance and hazard trees. That's part of our municipal code, so that's outlined in there. The last item there, Digger's Hotline. that's, you know, before we punch a hole in the ground, call Biggers Hotline. Better be safe than sorry. All righty. Any questions at all on that?
Document.
Thank you.
I have one question. Is it, what's the way you see a lot of mulch or chips around trees? Is that the right way to do it? I've heard of this.
It is if it's not too deep and it's not a volcano. Okay. You don't want to put more than 3 inches depth of mulch over the roots. And you don't want a volcano, what we call a volcano, where it's mounted up against the trunk.
On older trees and everything.
Right, because that'll cause issues with moisture, with insects. Mm-hmm. I've also seen where you get a lot of root growth up in those. A lot of fine roots will grow up into that mulch and start to girdle the tree and cause issues like that.
You see people do that.
Right. That's a tough one. You know, once you explain it to them a little bit, you know, some of them will, makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, other people, that's just the way they want their trees to look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've also seen you get some locations, businesses, estates where they have a contracted lawn care service that comes in. Every year they put mulch around their trees. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, they've got almost a foot of mulch around every tree, and that can cause issues over time. Sure. Any other questions? Well, great. Thank you. I'll make sure that I get that one thing fixed for sure, and then I'll have those couple other attachments there, and. And I'll bring that back to the next meeting, and if we have any questions or anything at that time. All right.
On page 10, in the first sentence, you have Village of Howard in there yet.
Oh, good catch. Huh?
Thank you.
That was a good catch.
Okay, then moving on. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add on any future agenda?
I'd be interested in seeing the schools plant fruit trees, apples, have edible orchards and that type of thing.
Okay.
So if we can look into that.
Okay,
and then,
sure.
As a homeowner, I'd be interested in learning how to graft some of the historic apples that we have onto the better apples that we have, so we can have trees that have both really good apples and the other stuff.
That's somewhat along the line of what I was going to bring up, and that's still our deer control. If we're planting apple trees in the snow, we're drawing in the deer.
Then pumpkins.
Is that still an open item? Are we still revisiting turkey and deer control?
And yes, we will. That was one of the things I brought up in January, that we'd like to revisit that and at some point come up with a plan or something we can bring to the village board. So I know Ashwaubenon is going through that right now. They've been given the approval to proceed with a plan to do some type of a cull or a hunt on public property. So I foresee the need at some point around here. I tend to get, especially right now, I'm getting a lot of calls about turkeys. In the fall, I was getting a lot of calls about deer. And during the winter. I think that's a lot because of during the winter time, they're a lot more easily seen. And that during the summer, they're more hidden and people don't notice them. And the deer have a lot more food then, too. They don't have to go up into somebody's yard and eat their pastas and those type of things. But so Okay.
Any other suggestions? Okay. Last thing is the adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Wow.
Did you hear that?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your work on that.
Is it all filled out?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll take it back.
We didn't put anything up here.
Okay.
We didn't know. We didn't sign it. Just using the line. We sent this resume down, but my wife just didn't fill it out.
Okay.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I'll take
so
a look at it. Okay. And, not a problem. No, I'm glad we could do that thing. Matter of fact, I had it sitting on my desk to start going through them this week. So
yeah, I thought maybe it was might have been too late.
No,
did you pay your
fee yet? I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, we're promotional designs.